دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our world, our community with Debbie Amini.
روز بخیر شنوندگان عزیز رادیو ایران، به خصوص طرفداران برنامه دنیای ما، جامعه ما، برنامه‌ای که در اون از مسئولین مناطق مختلف لس آنجلس و کالیفرنیا مثل کانسل ممبرها، کانگرسمنها، میرز و دیگر سمت‌ها و همچنین سفیران و کنسول‌های کشورهای متفاوت دعوت میشه که اطلاعاتی رو راجع به منطقه تحت پوشششون با ما در میون بگذارن. من دبی امینی هستم و در برنامه امروز به همراه آرمینه عزیز میزبان کانسل ممبر برایان طباطبایی هستیم. ایشون کانسل ممبر شهر وست کووینا دیستریکت 1 هستند. در سال 1999 در رشته علوم سیاسی و تاریخ از UCLA فارغ التحصیل شدند و فوق لیسانس را از کال استیت لس آنجلس دریافت کردند. در ابتدا در دبستان بولوین پارک به عنوان معلم بچه‌هایی با نیازهای ویژه (special needs) شروع به کار کردند. کانسل ممبر طباطبایی، welcome to today's program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I am looking forward to the conversation.
Thank you so much. دوستان اگر که دوست دارید در طول برنامه با استودیو تماس بگیرین و سوالات خودتون رو مطرح بکنین راجع به شهر وست کووینا، شماره تلفن تماس با استودیو هست 323-512-7264. برنامه به صورت زنده پخش میشه و ما تا ساعت 1:50 در خدمتون هستیم اگر که دوست دارین با استودیو تماس بگیرین. We have lots of English speakers who are listening to today's program actually. They have commented on our social media posts. They wanted to make sure that our conversation is English so they can listen. So I want to let everyone know that this program is live and you're welcome to call the studio and share your concerns or ask your questions from today's guest speaker, Council Member Tabotabai, Council Member of City of West Covina, District 1. And the number to call the studio is 323-512-7264. I want to start with your last name, if you don't mind, because your last name is Tabotabai. And I assume that your father is Persian. At the same time, you don't speak any Farsi. So what's going on?
No, it's a great question. And, you know, my parents, when they came, my father came from Iran, actually from Scotland. He went to Scotland to continue his education, and then he came to the United States to continue in around 1970. And at that time, you know, the California schools were not very welcoming to languages other than English. And so my mother and father, when they got married, they had my sister. I have an older sister, Iran, and you know they're preparing us for life, preparing her at the time. And my older cousin entered kindergarten in a Los Angeles school, and you know I am half Mexican as well, and he spoke Spanish, and in his kindergarten class. And the very first day he spoke Spanish and the teacher hit him, slapped him in the mouth for not speaking English and put him in the corner of the class. And seeing at that moment, all my aunts and uncles, my parents, you know, and this is 6 years before I'm born, they come together and they discuss, you know, what is it going to mean to bring up our children in this country for them to be successful. And at that time, they felt, well, you know, English is going to be the language that they need to be able to manipulate, to be able to have control over in order to navigate the spaces in the country. And so that's where the decision was made. I think in my experience, because we didn't settle in the West Side, you know, much of my family did live, you know, in Beverly Hills, the West Side of Los Angeles, Westwood area. But my dad and my mom, we settled, you know, first in East Los Angeles and then moved to the San Gabriel Valley, where there really is not an Iranian presence. And so I was not around Farsi. And even though I was around Spanish, it wasn't the language that was put forward for us to speak. Really, English and assimilating to English was what my parents thought would create a more successful path for myself and my sister.
That's, you know, interesting. I'm just glad that these days we don't have to face these kind of things. Like if somebody goes to kindergarten and speaks a different language, they won't be punished in any way. I mean, for me to hear that your cousin was hit and put in the corner of the classroom, I'm just glad, because these days there are a lot of help actually for people whose English is their second language. So at least we're past that stage.
Yes. No, you know, we actually have one of the reasons we chose West Covina to move our family is because of the dual immersion programs they have here in the school. So, you know, my son currently is in a Spanish dual immersion, and then we are going to be learning together to speak Farsi because, again, my inability to speak Farsi really has been, I think, one of those pains that I've had in my life, you know, to go and to have my, you know, my grandmother come and stay with us when I was, you know, 7 or 8 years old, and to not have an ability to communicate, to not be able to connect in ways other than through smiles. You know, it wasn't enough, and it's something that, you know, hopefully anyone who's listening, you know, especially the younger kids who maybe are not wanting to learn Farsi or, you know, pushing against learning the language of their family, that it really is what connects us and connects us to our roots. And, you know, to be in a space where you can sit with the elders and have those deep conversations in their language is something that, you know, I regret as some of my elders have now passed and not be able to go back.
Well, it's never too late. And, you know, it's right. Just part of the culture comes with the language. So as once you learn the language, that would be great. And I'm glad that you decided to do so with your son. So you're learning together. Yeah. You know, I just remember the funny story. Since your first name is Brian and we're talking about speaking Farsi in different languages, we have a very dear friend who was telling us that their son's name is Brian and he enters a Persian gathering and he's asked if he has a Persian name after he introduces himself. And he says, "Of course I have a Persian name." So he's asked to say his Persian name, and he just says that my name in Farsi is Berayan. So throughout the conversation, if you hear me pronouncing your name with different accents and pronunciations, you know where it comes from. It's the very sweet Persian accent.
Yes, no, I love it. To hear my name pronounced in that way, it brings memories of Nowruz and being at family gatherings and, you know, again, hearing the language, you know, is very musical and, you know, it does connect me to family. And I could hear my name, so I knew they were speaking of me, and the smiles would tell me they were speaking of me lovingly. And so I appreciate it. So
sure.
If you'd like to pronounce my name in that way, that would be great.
We'll see what comes. do you know what is the Persian population in your district?
I spent a lot of time researching and I could not find that number.
Okay.
San Gabriel Valley does not have a large Persian population. I know when we moved towards Glendale, there's a larger Persian population. But I, you know, as I've, you know, now that I'm here, I have cousins that have now moved out here into the San Gabriel Valley. It really is an area that is transitioning into many more young families, professional families. And I really think it's an opportunity to grow.
Right. Well, I believe a lot of Persian people own businesses in West Covina, as we have so many good Persian restaurants there. And it's kind of hard to get that number, I think, because Persian people don't participate as much as they should in census. That was one of the discussions that we have when I had a guest from we had census during 2020, I think. And then he mentioned that this is one of the problems. So we cannot really find out what the Persian population is in the areas, other than like well-known areas such as Westwood that we know is called Persian Square. I want to start today's conversation with one of the major concerns. That's basically my question for any city official that I invite. And that's a matter of homelessness. In West Covina, is this a big problem? And if it is, what is your plan to have perhaps, hopefully, a city free of homeless people, or at least less homeless people than what is currently going on?
Yes, it's the number one issue for the residents here. We don't have a problem like Los Angeles or some of the surrounding areas, but it's a concern. You know, whenever you have any one of your residents sleeping in your parks or on your sidewalks, it's just as a human being, it's something that can never be okay. And so when we look at the issue, I think a lot of people have this idea that we've passed a lot of measures. The governor just again announced another $12 billion to go towards tackling homelessness. And the reality is the issue isn't the capital. The money is there. The reality is the will to create the infrastructure, right? So where can this money go? And are cities willing to accept the responsibility that comes with accessing those funds? Here in our city, you know, the Supreme Court in the Boise case basically set the law that homelessness is not a crime. And therefore, unless you can provide shelter for your homeless residents, then you really have no mechanism to get them to accept the support and the outreach we do. So I think all cities need to really come to grips with the fact that housing and shelter, whether it's a transitional shelter, needs to be at the center of any plan. Because again, when we're talking about, you know, people like to say, well, we need more mental health support, or we need more drug rehab. We need those types of programs. Well, yes, we need those programs, but how is someone to receive mental health support if they don't have a stable space where they're living, right? How can we provide them with the continuance of care if we can't locate them on a daily basis? How can someone heal if they have to worry about their safety?
I'm hearing, there are times throughout the year when it's not too cold or it's not raining, there are shelters available to these people, but they are not willing to go live there. Most of them prefer to remain on the street, as I said, if the weather permits. And there is no law to enforce them to go to the shelters. So do you really think providing the shelters?
Yeah, see, because just from, you know, working with our HOPE team, which is our homeless outreach team, the shelter beds, if you go to the shelters, it's not like they have these huge vacancy signs where they're saying, oh, we have all this space, why is no one coming? The reality is that the cities don't supply the amount of shelters necessary to then enforce their ordinances. So again, Judge Carter in Los Angeles, and he did it in Orange County. He really set a precedent. He said, if you have 60% of your homeless population, if you have shelter for 60% of that population, then you are able to enforce those anti-camping ordinances. You're able to enforce, moving them out of public spaces. But the reality is cities have had to be sued in order to create those shelter numbers. So again, I think there's this idea that somewhere there exists shelter, there exist mental health facilities, there exist drug rehab facilities, but those spaces don't actually exist in the way we think they do. Mm-hmm. And again, I can just ask myself, right? So here in West Covina, right? So even if you just look at your own city, you ask yourself, okay, where is the shelter in my city? Because these are my residents that are on the streets. Mm-hmm. And the answer is, well, there isn't one in my city, right? So for then me to believe that, well, my city doesn't have one, why would I then anticipate that other cities have them, right? No, because right. All of us are making these decisions where, the easy thing is passing the measure to have the money, right? The money and the money out there, that doesn't take any real change to my life. But considering putting maybe a 25 tiny home facility in my neighborhood, that really takes some, I think some moral courage to say, I want this problem solved, and I'm willing to take responsibility within my city to solve our city's problem. Mm-hmm. And I really think that becomes the issue. Are there some that are unsheltered that are going to refuse help? Yes. And again, Judge Carter has really set the number. He says, if your city can show that they can provide 60% of your homeless population beds, and then an unsheltered resident refuses the help.
But it's really sad to think that 60% of the population, or your city's population, any city's population, need beds in shelters. Yeah. I mean, I hope that there were some other laws and rules involved that these people wouldn't even end up on the street. Maybe maybe the budget could be spent somewhere to give them jobs or help them to get jobs. Maybe they could create a community for these people to like live together and work together. But it's just like just providing a shelter to them. I don't know if that would be the only answer, but I'm sure that you're right. I agree that definitely providing the shelter should be the first step.
Yes, and you're completely correct. Right now, we're actually creating a West Covina Tenants Union for our renters. So they will know their renters' rights. Uh-huh. So they'll understand, what needs to be provided to them, so that way they have a safe place to live and that they're living in good conditions. And also to access the funds that are currently available because of COVID, so people don't end up.
So let's go to we have to listen to take a commercial break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about COVID and the problems with COVID. دوستان عزیز با ما باشید.
شنونده عزیز، بر اساس آماری که در دسترس است، از جمعیت آمریکا حدود 19% تا سن 19 سالگی و 42% از 19 سالگی به بالا اضافه وزن دارند و اگر شما هم اضافه وزن دارید، دچار افسردگی، بیخوابی، بی‌حوصلگی، فشار خون، سرطان، قند خون، کبد چرب و کلسترول بالا بوده و وقتی خودتون رو در آینه می‌بینید، حسرت روزها و سال‌های گذشته رو می‌خورید که با اندامی موزون و زیبا دید چشم‌های دیگران رو به خود جلب می‌کردید. اکنون دکتر وزیری با 31 سال تخصص و تجربه در کاهش وزن بدون دارو و ورزش، با آخرین متد و دستگاه‌های جدید تشخیص نقاط چربی بدن، متخصصین و کوچ‌های ورزیده با مکمل‌های غذایی آماده مصرف، حتی کوشر و ویجیتریان، تحت نام دکتر وزیری در خدمت شماست. آفیس‌ها در ولی گلندل و اخیراً در اورنج کانتی جنب سویت لیلی بیکری. 818-704-1188 818-704-1188.
من مایکل پیمون کید، افسر سابق پلیس، پروفسور حقوق و وکیل دفاع جنایی و دفاع مدنی با بیش از 21 سال تجربه هستم. اگر شما و یا بیزنس شما سو شده اید، به یک وکیل دفاعی با تجربه نیاز دارید. برای مشاوره سریع و محرمانه در کلیه پرونده‌های جنایی و دفاع مدنی با من تماس بگیرید.
دکتر مایکل پیمون کید، 310-870-8000 310-870-8000.
پیشگام در صنعت انرژی خورشیدی با سابقه درخشان.
نصب سیستم‌های سولار بدون پیش پرداخت با 26% تکس کردیت.
گروه مهندسی ساشا اینترنشنال مجری طرح هزاران پروژه و نصب پنل‌های خورشیدی.
تلفن 818-564-4853
www.sashainter.com.
ساشا برپا کننده نیروگاه خصوصی شما.
شنوندگان عزیز، دکتر دیوید پیکر را به شما معرفی میکنم. پزشک و جراح چشم، فارغ التحصیل از دانشکده پزشکی UCLA و UCLA Stein Eye Institute و استادیار دانشکده چشم پزشکی UCLA. مطب در ساختمان ایرانیان موفق، شهر انسینو. 818-981-1563 818-981-1563. نگاهی شفاف با دکتر دیوید پیکر.
آیا می دانید هر سال چند لاسوت در آمریکا فایل می شود؟
هر سال بیش از 100 میلیون پرونده شکایت به اجرا گذاشته می شود.
آیا می دانید که چند وکیل در کالیفرنیا اجازه وکالت دارند؟
بیش از 170 هزار وکیل در کالیفرنیا وکالت می کنند.
آیا می دانید که رکورد چهارمین بزرگترین خسارت چند میلیون دلاری در یک پرونده و در عرض یک سال متعلق به کدام وکیل تصادفات است؟
وکیلی که نام او را بارها و بارها شنیدید. وکیلی که انتخاب اول جامعه ایرانی است.
چهارمین بزرگترین ستلمنت چند میلیون دلاری در کالیفرنیا در طول یک سال و متعلق به یک پرونده از آن کسی نیست جز پیام شایانی.
818-777-777-777
Lucky 7.
Because of you, I found the resources I needed.
Because of you, I found the right doctor.
Because of you, I'm not alone.
These are words we cherish at the Sarcoma Alliance. Each year, thousands of Americans of all ages are diagnosed with sarcoma, the rare 1% of all cancers. The Sarcoma Alliance is there during their difficult journey, providing education, guidance, and connection. Learn more at sarcomaalliance.org. Sponsored by the Sarcoma Alliance.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager, too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play. So to help, we created aarp.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Sharing has never meant as much as it does now. Everything is up for the world to see. But what if the sharing could be used to make a difference? The National MS Society is building a place where everyone can share their experiences for good. If you have a story, share it. If you have a solution, share that too. Because together, we are stronger. Join us at wearestrongerthanms.org.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
to. Twinsies!
I kinda love it.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
People been saying to your friend, get a different face. And posting on their feed, they're super ugly. The things they say to them online are cruel and they're not true. So tell your friend, I'll stand up for you. Don't worry, I know what to do.
Know someone being bullied online? You can be a witness and make a difference by letting the world know it isn't cool and by letting your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
بشنو از نی،
برنامه از دل فرهنگ ایران، ریشیابی ضرب المثل‌های فارسی، تکه کلام‌های عامیانه، روایات و حکایات شیرین و همچنین تاریخ پرشکوه ایران زمین، هر شنبه از ساعت 6 تا 7 بعد از ظهر با من محمود افهمی همراه باشید.
مجله اقتصادی 670 با امین اکبریان، هر شنبه 9 صبح از رادیو ایران.
هوای تازه
هر یک شنبه از ساعت 7 تا 9 بعد از ظهر با من پروین جوادی.
چو در دست است رودی خوش، بزن مطرب سرودی خوش، که دست افشان غزل خوانیم و پاکوبان سر اندازیم.
رادیو ایران 670 AM با صدها هزار شنونده در ایالات متحده و سراسر جهان پشتیبان جامعه ایرانیان در جنوب کالیفرنیا، به ویژه در لس آنجلس و اورنج کانتی است.
شما نیز می توانید از همینک با تایپ نشانی KIRN 670 AM در اپ استور و گوگل استور گوشی های خود اپلیکیشن رادیو ایران را تنها با یک کلیک
به صورت رایگان دانلود کرده و همراه با دیگر ایرانیان سراسر جهان آسان تر از گذشته شنونده برنامه های ما باشید.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. United States now flying some of the thousands of Haitian migrants who crossed from Mexico into Texas back to their homeland. A U.S. official says three flights departed San Antonio earlier this morning, headed for Port-au-Prince. Two crewmen have been injured, three homes damaged, when a military jet went down this morning near Fort Worth, Texas. Authorities say the jet trainer was just north of the Naval Air Station Joint Reserve Base when the two crewmen ejected. One was burned by a power line, the other landed in a tree. No injuries reported on the ground. Hot, dry weather causing more problems for firefighters in California. They are still battling to keep the flames from driving further into a grove of giant sequoias. This is SRN News.
به رادیو ایران گوش می کنید.
KIRN 670 AM.
دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our world, our community with Debbie Amini.
سلامی دوباره دارم خدمت شما عزیزانی که در این قسمت از برنامه به ما ملحق شدید. در قسمت دوم برنامه دنیای ما جامعه ما، من دبی امینی هستم و میهمان برنامه امروز کانسل ممبر برایان طباطبایی هستند که کانسل ممبر شهر وستکووینا دیستریکت 1 هستند. قبل از اینکه به آگهی ها بریم، راجع به مسئله هوملس ها، افراد بی خانمان صحبت کردیم و اینکه ایشون در نظر دارن که با بودجه‌ای که در نظر گرفته شده برای این مسئله بتونن شلترهای بیشتری، خانه‌های بیشتری تهیه بکنن برای این شهر، که امید بر این باشه که بتونن افرادی که بی خانمان هستن، حالا به هر دلیلی، بتونن به این شلترها پناه ببرن و در اونجا بتونن دور از خیابون زندگی بکنن. Council member, I'm going to move on to the other major concern these days, which is kind of, it could be kind of related as well to the homelessness. The problem and issues related to pandemic, which caused health and financial hardship. I want to know, as a council member, how are you able to help people in these areas?
You know, especially early on, we mobilized our city manager to be able to go ahead and get us more ambulance services to residents. During January was really a rough time, and so, you know, we gave him that authority so that way we could service our residents who are suffering through COVID. I think the thing that we've really done a great job of is getting our people vaccinated. Wescovina has nearly 80% of our residents 12 and over are vaccinated. Over 95% of our residents 65 and over are vaccinated. And, you know, really with LA Public Health, Fulgent, we really went hard at getting vaccination sites and getting mobile vaccination sites. LA County Public Health partnered with our Wescovina Police Department and Fire Department to go to the homes of elderly that were immobilized and vaccinated them in their homes. And so that is the first thing we needed to do in order to really try to get our businesses and our city back into some sort of normality. I think the other thing that we've done is, you know, we're really quick to allow for our businesses to create the outdoor seating, especially for the restaurants, and to provide them with the space to be successful in that way. And so that really early pandemic, I think now as we're, you know, kind of going forward, you start to ask yourself, you know, what can we do as a city to, you know, provide the resources and supports so that way our businesses can flourish even during pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're doing now with the federal recovery funds that have been provided, right? We're really investing in a lot of the infrastructure to make sure that our businesses are, you know, well supported. You know, if our city doesn't have, you know, the streets and the internet and those types of, you know, we're upgrading our energy resources throughout the entire city, right, to bring down cost and to make our city more green. Again, all of these things are in support of our businesses going forward, right? We have to think more long-term than just the short-term. And that's really kind of what our vision has been.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Thank you so much. I want to move on to a totally different subject now. Let's say that in audience members, there are people who are thinking about starting a new business. So for those people, what is the advantage of starting a new business in your district, in Wescovina?
Well, I think number one, we're really in a transition right now. We have a lot of young professional families moving into the community. We have several single family home housing development that we recently passed. I believe another 250 homes are being built. Eminent Queen of the Valley Hospital is just did a groundbreaking for a brand new cancer center, state-of-the-art innovative cancer center, where we're going to be able to attract really high professional, enthusiastic and innovative doctors to West Covina, which is at the heart of the San Gabriel Valley. And so you have just really a growth in the city. Our population has increased from the last census. We're now over 110,000 people in terms of population. And so this new population that is coming to the city wants certain things, right? Many of them are moving from the West Side. You know, my family and I, mm-hmm. we moved from West Los Angeles, you know, to West Covina for the schools and you know, to be able to have a home, right? You know, mm-hmm. the prices have just become out of reach. And so now that we are here, right, we want the services that we're used to there over here in West Covina. And, you know, as a city, we ranked the number two most ambitious city, business-friendly city. We are really trying to bring those businesses to the city to serve this new population that's coming here. And again, you know, the consumers have changed. And with that, they want to be local. They don't want to travel far. And so as you're getting younger as a city, well, that just makes you more attractive to businesses. And if I was a business, I want to go where new young professionals are going to move. And West Covina is where they're coming.
That's good. What kind of businesses do you think are suitable for West Covina? I know that there are many auto dealers there and also yes. big shopping centers. What else do you suggest? What kind of business owners should look into West Covina as their next investment?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, we are looking to reinvigorate our mall area. Again, you know, looking for, I think that this area is suited now, again, for healthcare. You know, the healthcare, Eminent Health and what Queen of the Valley is doing is serving the San Gabriel Valley where no one else is serving. And so I think if you're in the healthcare industry, if your business is health services, mental health services, that is lacking in this entire valley. Mm-hmm. You know, people have to travel, you know, 30, 40 miles to get, you know, certain treatments, to get, you know, even psychological support, you know, therapies and things like that. And so, again, I think when you're thinking of businesses, you know, this might not be the normal business that people talk about, but, you know, healthcare and, you know, mental health therapy and supportive therapies like that have a home, you know, in this valley, and no one really is serving that need. And I really think that that's kind of the frontier if you're really thinking of, you know, setting up a hub. West Covina would definitely be the spot because it really is an underserved market.
Very good. Thank you so much. Somebody called at the studio, and I think they have a question for you. We're going to bring them on air. دوست عزیز شما روی خط هستین. بفرمین سوالتونو.
فارسی بگم چون انگلیسی موتوری خوب نیست.
اشکال نداره. من ترجمه میکنم جانم.
سپاسگزارم. من پسرم تو وست کووینا الان 30 سال 30 چند سال اونجا سالن آرایش داره، خودش هم کار نمیکنه، امپلوی اونجا کار میکنن. انیوی این صاحب این شاپینگ سنتر یا آقای ایژیانی هستن که پسر من با اینکه 4000 روده 4000 4200 تو وست کووینا داره اجاره این مغازه رو میده، 30 چند سالم هست تو مغازه، باز این آقا تو این دو ساله که کرونا اومده بیزینسشون خیلی بد شده، میگه دیگه مشتری نداریم، ولی این آقا یه دید مزاحمت ایجاد میکنه، تهدید کرده که بیرونتون میکنین. خواستم ببینم خود تلفن مستقیم این آقا چیه، که پسر من انگلیسیش خوبه، اینجا بزرگ شدن، میتونه با آقا صحبت کنه، شاید ایشون راه حلی به پسر من بده. زن و بچه داره، دو تا بچه داره، خانومش بیماری قلبی داره، کار نمیکنه، تنها نوناور خونه پسر منه. خواستم ببینم این آقا میتونن پسر من تلفن مستقیمش هم با خودشون صحبت کنن، راهنمایی کنن. بی نهایت سپاسگزارم، بی نهایت ممنونم، از رادیو گوش میکنم. امری ندارین؟
نه خواهش میکنم، مرسی تلفن کردین. Council member, this lady called and she wants to know if you can help her son who is owning a business of a hair salon for 30 years now. And the hair salon is in a shopping center. During the COVID, for the past 2 years, she said that they had difficulties with finding customers. But the owner of the shopping center wants to increase the rent and is asking them to, if they cannot afford the rent, although it's a very high rent as well, is asking them to leave the shopping center. And they are after eviction. So the lady was wondering if you're able to help, and if you are, how they can reach out to you. She was hoping that they can have a phone number from you. If they can, it would be great. Otherwise, I'm going to announce the website so they can go ahead and get your email there so they can contact you from the website.
Yes. No, definitely. She can go ahead and call me.
We lost your voice, council member. One second. That's okay.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
It's better now.
Okay, yes. Definitely can go ahead and call me at 310-497-0419. I definitely would love to speak with her and get our city manager to also get involved. So that way we can make sure that, during COVID, it was a difficult time for a lot of our small businesses. And the one thing we don't want to see is that any business that was forced to shut down, like the hair salons, get the needed support. And we want to make sure that we know those businesses that need that support, and we can provide it to make sure that she can continue. 30 years in West Covina, I think, that's the thing about this city as well, right? We have residents, we have businesses that have long rooted in this city, and they're another part of the city that makes it special. Is that people they come, they make their home, they make their lives, and they really put their entirety of hope, right, their American dream here in the city, and it thrives. And so we definitely want to make sure that her business can continue to thrive.
Thank you so much. So with your permission, I'm going to translate so the lady can write down the number as well. خانم عزیزی که تماس گرفتین با استودیو، کانسل ممبر گفتن که دوست دارن که حتما کمک بکنن اگر که بتونن، و شماره تلفنشون هم در اختیارتون گذاشتن، شماره 310-497-0419. در ضمن من تا موقعیت هست وبسایت وست کووینا رو هم اعلام میکنم برای دوستانی که دوست دارن بیشتر آشنا بشن با وست کووینا، و همچنین اگر دوست داشته باشن با کانسل ممبر یا بقیه مسئولین تماس بگیرن، وبسایت هست www.westcovina.org. از طریق وبسایت هم میشه تماس گرفت، تلفن هم که در خدمتتون هست. Thank you so much for your help. I took advantage of the time and announced the website as well for those who are interested in learning more about West Covina and perhaps would like to know the other people involved making decisions in that district. So I want to ask my next question is actually about the activities that you have in your district. When I was checking the website, I noticed that, for example, yesterday you had programs raising money for Alzheimer's Association, and also you had celebration for Hispanic Heritage Month. I was wondering if you have any plans in the future. That was really interesting for me that this community has these activities. And I think I actually found them on your personal Facebook page, if I'm not mistaken, which was very interesting. And I really like it. Like one of them has live music for tenants to know the rights, if I'm not mistaken. Like people can go have fun, listen to the live music. They can attend for free. But at the same time, there are people who talk to and let the tenants know what their rights are. What other programs do you have or activities?
Yeah, no, definitely. We are about to have a Filipino Heritage Month, which is coming up next. We have one of the largest Filipino communities in the country and actually in the world outside the Philippines. And so one of the things as a city and really as a community, we really wanted to create opportunities for community to come together. And so the event that you mentioned on Friday, this Friday, we're going to be having a West Covina Tenants Union, jazz, music, food, but learn your renter's rights at Cortez Park near our senior center. And again, trying to create as many opportunities for community to come together. I think one of the things that often we kind of lose sight of because of how polarized, our political landscape is how much we really do have in common. It's interesting, I was elected and I am progressive and the community is fairly conservative. And there have been quite a few conservatives who after engaging with me personally, right outside of social media, I really, realized that, wow, we have so much in common, so much that we want to see for our city, so many different things that we can come together and do. And so as a city, we need to create those spaces for us to come together, to interact, to go beyond just, Facebook post, and I try to engage with residents as much as I can on Facebook as well, just because I think it's important. But really, just to be able to humanize each other by the personal contact. I know it's been difficult with COVID, but as like I said, our city has really done well with the vaccination, so we're able to do a little more than I think other communities can. And it's really important. It's important to create the space for all of us to come together, enjoy each other, and have shared experiences. And that's really what we're trying to do.
Very nice. So this event that you mentioned, it's going to be on September 24th. And for the address and everything else, people can just visit the website and get the information?
Yes. And For those most people are familiar, it's going to be at Cortez Park near our senior center, and it's going to be on Friday, starts at 1 o'clock. I'll be there. There's going to be jazz. There's going to be food. There's going to be several speakers and presenters on renters' rights and on how people can maybe access some money to help them from being evicted. I know the eviction moratorium is going to be ending at the end of the month. So, it's urgent, but, we want to make sure we can do as much as we can all the way to the end.
Perfect. So maybe the lady who called, her son can come to the event as well and they can talk to you right in person.
That would be beautiful.
That's great. So, unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the program today. The time is running so fast. I want to thank you for dedicating your time and being our guest speaker today. It was really good information that was shared with our audience members. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it. And I look forward to being on your show again and to share with you my Farsi that I will be on the journey of learning.
Perfect. So let me know as soon as you're ready for a Farsi interview. Just email me and I would be more than happy to have you. But before that, I will be happy to have you speaking English as well.
definitely.
Take care. Thank you so much. دوستان عزیز، همگی شما رو تا برنامه آینده به خدا میسپارم. روز خوش و خدا نگهدار.